9 through 13. As you turn your Bibles, let's read these words together. I really like this. God's unchanging word. Say them with me. For feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God, naught else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for want of some sweet token, there is one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken. I'll trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever. For though all things shall pass away, His word shall stand forever and ever and ever. Amen. God's word stands. Sermon today entitled, A Little Talk with Jesus. Luke 11, beginning with verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he be given a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he be offered a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Amen. There's a song that most of you are familiar with, and it goes like this. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. He bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. Just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell Him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and He will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer wheel turning, then you'll know a little fire is burning. You'll find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Well, those words are true. That's a great song, isn't it? How true those words are. Having a little talk with Jesus, that's what prayer is all about, isn't it? Prayer is talking to Jesus. And how much do we need that privilege of prayer today? Oh, we need it more than ever. We live in such a complex and messed up and confused world. You think about it today. We face decisions and we carry responsibilities in a world that probably no generation has ever faced. Yet, to many folks in churches in America, prayer has become a lost art. Folks stumble along life's journey, often trying to bear the burdens alone with worry and trouble, and they carry it around as they try to find the right path to walk. When all the time, God is just waiting for us to call on Him. That He might put all the resources of heaven at our disposal. And He does that when we call on Him in the name of Jesus. Oh, praise God. Thank God for prayer. The most serious indictment that can be brought against the church today is that we don't pray enough. We don't. We don't pray enough. We don't have enough in us of that old-fashioned belief and conviction and certainty that prayer will make a difference, that prayer changes things, that prayer changes the one who is praying. God says to us, call unto me. But so often we don't do that. We just turn away from Him and we call on our own resources, our own imagination, our own thoughts, and our own ways to try to get something done. Is there any wonder that it seems like that the churches today are filled with such halting, limping, weak Christians because they don't understand the authority and the power and the blessings of when we pray, when we call upon God? Great men of the Bible give us a great example of people of prayer. Great men and women of the Bible knew that they could not make it in this life without constant communion with God. We can't either, by the way. We cannot make it in this walk with Jesus without being in constant communion and prayer with our Savior, of walking and living our daily lives in prayer. Moses had a big job. He was commissioned to lead the children of Israel, some say it was over 1 million of them, out of the land of Egypt, from slavery into freedom, the promised land. Moses had confessed his weaknesses to God, all the things he said, I can't do this, Lord, and confessed all his weaknesses to him. But he kept calling on God in prayer, and God helped him and he guided him. All the problems that beset Moses during the journey, God was with him because God kept calling on, because Moses kept calling on God. Because Moses kept saying, God, I need your help. Help me. David was a man of prayer. He was also a man of praise, because we know because the choir and Diane sang that great song about David being a man of praise. But he was a man of prayer as well. Most of the Psalms that he wrote that's in our Bibles, those songs were fervent, passionate prayers. Prayers to God. And if he wasn't praying, then David was testifying to God's answered prayer, to God's goodness in his life and giving praise to him. Elijah prayed. Elijah prayed and God shut up the heavens for 3 years and there was no rain. The Bible says, and he prayed again. And God sent the rain to refresh the earth. Oh, that's a man of prayer. John the Baptist prayed. He prayed in that wilderness and he came forth as a giant for Jesus and for the cause of Christ. Peter and a handful of believers gathered in an upper room. That group of folks prayed for 10 days in that upper room. The Bible tells us that the power of the Holy Spirit fell on them, and because of that prayer and because of the blessings and the power of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says 3,000 were saved that day. That's God doing that, amen. Paul was a praying man. Think about Paul. From the moment he had that experience with Jesus on the Damascus Road, from that moment until he died, he never let go of God in prayer. What an example for us. Even Jesus, God's own Son. Jesus, think about it. Jesus needed to stay in touch with the Father. And he did that through constantly praying. Virtually from the cradle to the grave, Jesus was an example of prayer. So today we examine three important aspects of prayer. And the first one I address this morning is that we have an obligation to pray. We have an obligation to pray. Amen. We owe it to ourselves to pray. God loves us. He wants to bless us. But the receiving is dependent upon the asking. The Bible tells us this very clearly. The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. Sometimes we're just like the prodigal son. He found himself in the pig pen, hungry, wanting some need of nourishment and food. And he realized that his father's servants had enough bread to spare. Here he was going hungry. He knew his father had all that he needed. He just needed to go back to the Father. I'm going to tell you, our Heavenly Father has all that we ever need. We perish because we don't ask Him. We don't go to Him in faith. We cheat ourselves when we don't pray. We do. We cheat ourselves. Paul knew what great supply that the Lord has for us when he said in Philippians 4:19, I love this, you know this verse, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. We owe it to ourselves to pray. We owe it to others. In James 5:16, the Bible says that we're told to pray for one another. The Bible makes it very clear we're to pray for each other. Aren't you thankful that you can look back in times in your own lives and you knew folks were praying for you? You knew folks were lifting your name up in prayer, and you knew how much better it made you feel. I just don't think I could make it and do the work that God has placed on my life if I didn't believe that folks were praying for me, that folks were lifting me up in prayer. I can't tell you how many times I have felt the power of other folks' prayer as they were praying for me. We owe it to others to pray for them. We want to be obedient to the Word of God. As I mentioned earlier about the missionaries in Russia, the Dougherty's, so many missionaries tell me regularly that their greatest need is for us to be praying for them, lifting them up in prayer. Nothing gives more comfort to someone going through a tough time than receiving a little handwritten note or something in the mail that says, I'm praying for you. Oh, it just makes you feel great, doesn't it? They're praying for me. Samuel was a great man of prayer and a great example to us. The people, if you remember, the children of Israel, the people had sinned against God. And God's judgment and punishment was upon them. And they came to Samuel and they begged Samuel to pray for them. And Samuel replied in 1 Samuel 12:23, he said these words, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. This is what Samuel was saying. He not only felt an obligation to pray for others, he felt a duty to pray for others. He also felt like he would be sinning against God if he didn't do it. We need that in our hearts, don't we? We need that conviction and that passion that if we're not praying for others, that somehow we're not pleasing God, we're not doing the will of God. Every day, you think about this, every day we should pray this prayer. We should pray, oh Holy Spirit, direct my prayer life to those that need it. Holy Spirit, convict those people that I know that are lost, that need Jesus, that need the Savior. I can tell you I pray that prayer every single day. Every day that I'm praying, I'm believing that as I pray for those that are lost, that don't know Christ, that through my prayers that God hears and it's according to the will of God, that He answers those prayers, that He brings about events and circumstances and situations in the lives of those that I'm praying for, that He brings about the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and somehow, some way, even though it doesn't seem like it today, God will break through into that heart and that mind, and they'll find Jesus as their Savior. Because we're praying. We're praying according to the direction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Speaking of praying for others, can I tell you, your church needs your prayers. Your pastor and his wife need your prayers. Our country needs our prayers. Our president needs our prayers. It doesn't matter if you like him or not, or voted for him or not. It doesn't make any difference. Going back to just, I can think back, when President Clinton was in office, I was praying for him. I was praying for President Bush. I've been praying for President Obama when he was in office. I'm praying for the president we've got today. I'm praying for our leaders. That's biblical. We pray for God to touch their hearts. We pray, oh God, I don't know about y'all. I pray, as I pray even for all of our presidents, my prayer is, oh God, let their hearts be humble before you. Let them realize they can never make any decision or do anything without trusting in you. Let Jesus be supreme in their hearts. Let them reach up in faith and let them not be ashamed to declare that I'm trusting in God. I'm trusting in my Savior Jesus to help me and to guide me. That's my prayer for our leaders. We owe it to others. We also owe it to God to pray, don't we? We do. We've got a little next video up here, a little item up here. It's a little pig and a chicken. I like it. It's the chicken is saying to the pig, we should donate some ham and eggs. And the pig says, well, for you, it's a contribution. For me, it's a total sacrifice. You got it. And you think, where are you going with this, Pastor? I don't understand this. Let me just tell you, as a kid growing up, I was on my grandparents' dairy farm quite a bit in Oklahoma. So I was around cattle a lot and dogs and chickens and guineas and peacocks and all the stuff that they had. And it was great. But I had an aunt and uncle on my mother's side. It was my grandpa's brother. It was really a great uncle. And they're country folks. They're down east of Kemp, Texas, and out in the country. And country folks, my mother was all country folks, so was my dad. Now, when we talked about our aunts and uncles, for some reason, there were certain ones out in the country that we didn't say Uncle Jack and Aunt Lena. It was Aunt Lena, okay? Some of y'all might relate to that a little bit. It was Uncle Jack and Aunt Lena. And one of my favorite things was to go to their house on hog killing day. That was a big day in our family because it was always late November, and we'd all gather down at Aunt Lena's, Uncle Jack's house, and they always had a lot of hogs. And I won't go through all the details, but as a kid, I just thought it was great. I just loved every bit of it. I thought it was wonderful. They had a bunch of hogs. I can remember being at their house and helping my cousin go down there and slop the hogs. And I thought that was great. I know some of y'all are thinking I'm crazy now saying that. But just get old big old bucket of slop and you kind of lean over the fence and you pour it in that little trough. And here they come and they're just making all this noise and eating that junk. And I thought, wow, this is awesome. This is so neat, you know. One day one of those hogs got out of the pen that they were in the hog pen. And I remember that old hog had ran over to underneath an apple tree. And there were just a bunch of rotten apples down underneath that apple tree that weren't any good. And he found those apples, and that old hog was eating those old rotten apples just as fast as he could. And I want to tell you, that hog never looked up to see where those apples come from. Now, we don't expect anything else from a hog, do we? We don't expect anything else from a hog. But there's a lot of people just like that hog. They eat and they drink and they take in the blessings from God and they never look up to see where those blessings come from and to give thanks to God for His blessings in their life. Shakespeare had a saying. He said, how sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child. Think about that for a minute. How sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child. If a child's ingratitude hurts his earthly mom and dad, how much more does our ingratitude hurt the heart of God when we're not thankful? We owe it to God to pray and to give Him thanks, to thank Him for our salvation. We were condemned. We were on our way to hell. But by that mercy and grace and the shed blood of Christ, He saved us. We should be thanking Him. We pray every time we pray. We should be saying, thank you, Father, for Jesus and for my salvation. The second point today is looking at our observance of prayer. Our observance of prayer. Let me kind of give you an idea of what I'm talking about here. First of all, when it comes to praying, we are to pray with clean hearts. I'm going to just tell you, we cannot reach God if our hearts are filled with sin. Amen. Just as a cloud on a sunny day separates us from the sun, our sins will separate us and come between us and God. Yes. David knew that. David understood that. He knew that sin separated one from God when he wrote these words in Psalm 66 and 18. So he said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Did y'all hear that? That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Jesus had even said that before making an offering to God, we're to make things right with our brothers. If there's anything wrong, make it right, then come back and make the offering to God. Our prayers go no higher than our heads when our hearts are filled with sin and unrepented things in our lives. We've got to get the world out to get up to God. We do. We've got to get it out. If you come to God and you ask for forgiveness of our sins and cleansing, then surely when we do that with faith, we know that our prayers are going to be more effective. That's true. The Bible tells us that. James 5 and 16, you know these words. The effective, fervent prayer of a sinner avails much. That's not what it said, is it? No, because we know it's not true. The effective, fervent prayer of a what? Righteous man. And how are we righteous? We're only righteous through the blood of the Lamb of God. Our righteousness comes to us by the righteousness of Jesus. So we trust in Him. And the effective, fervent prayer, that means with passion. Amen. That means, oh God, we're calling. Have you ever prayed with a lot of passion? I mean, just with more passion you ever knew that was in you. That's that fervency of prayer. We're to pray also with grateful hearts. To give thanks to God, not only for our salvation, for all the blessings in our life. We're to pray with earnestness. Earnestness is a fervency and a passion. I've been in churches. I've been in a Presbyterian church, particularly where my mother and my stepdad attended Presbyterian church after they got married. I'll tell you that. Let me just pause for a minute. Well, my mother, before she got married, my stepdad, she'd grown up in Pentecost all her life. She's a Pentecostal woman through and through. She's a Pentecostal mother through and through. She believed in the power of the gifts in the church of praying in tongues, in miracles, in healings, in the move and the power of the Holy Spirit in individual lives and in worship services. She'd been in services where the power of the Spirit had fallen and people were under conviction and people received healing and blessings from God. But she made a mistake, and she married a man that told her, oh, yeah, I believe in all that. And then after they got married, he didn't really. It was just one of those deals. And he convinced her they needed to go to his church, Presbyterian church, and that's what they started doing. And she went to that Presbyterian church for over 30 years. I can remember being in that church. Sherry and I were sitting there grieving at her funeral. And I realized they were talking about somebody that I didn't even know. She wasn't the woman I'd known, that Pentecostal woman full of the fire, the power of the Holy Spirit. She had changed, become a woman that the husband had demanded that she become. What a sad thing that is. I can remember being in that church during her funeral, and other times we'd visit them, and we'd be on a Sunday with them in church. There wasn't any prayers, there were only reading prayers. And there's a difference between praying and reading a prayer. The pastor would stand there and he would read a prayer. Oh, they sounded beautiful. But see, prayer, we're talking about praying with earnestness. Prayer must come from the heart. It must be fervent. It must not just be the mouthings of what somebody else has written. But it comes with the passion deep within us. The word says, effective, fervent prayer reaches the heart of God. Effective, fervent prayer. These scriptures we have in the next PowerPoint, when we pray with expectancy, when we talk about praying with expectancy, what is that saying to you? That means when we pray, we're praying that God will hear and He will answer and it'll be done. Amen? Praying with expectancy. Look at these scriptures that give support to that. Isaiah 6 and 25, before they call, I'll answer. While they're yet speaking, I will hear. Oh, praise God. He already knows. He's going to answer before we call. Mark 11, 24. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. And you'll have them. Oh, what a promise that is. Mark 9, 23. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. I claim that promise right now, don't you? All things are possible. What great promises we have regarding prayer. I love that old song, only believe, only believe. All things are possible, only believe. A mission station in India, a young orphan girl named Kara gave her heart and life to Jesus. She was saved and trusted Jesus and had incredible faith. Her mom and dad had died, and she was being raised by some other distant members of her family. And they decided they couldn't afford to keep taking care of her. The poverty was so bad, and the family had debts. They realized that they could pay down some of those debts if they sold this girl, Kara, into slavery. She was just turning into a teenager. she'd bring a good price. And they were desperate. They didn't know God. They just were people trying to do what they could do to survive. But she came to the missionary, the one that had led her to Christ, and explained everything, that she was going to be sold into slavery. The missionary said, "Kara, we don't have the kind of money that your folks are going to get by selling you. And I know we've tried to talk them out of it, but they don't listen and they won't do what we've asked them to do. And we want you to come and live with us. We'll take you in and be our daughter. But we don't have the funds to keep them from selling you. And so let's pray. You pray and we'll be praying that God will give a miracle and that somehow God will make it happen so we can help you not be sold." Well, Karen went back home. And that very day that they had the conversation with the missionary, that very day, the missionary got a check in the mail from an unexpected source that was exactly enough to meet the price of what the family was going to get by selling Kara as a slave. The pastor was so excited. So the next morning, he started out to go to Kara's house where she lived to tell her the good news that they didn't have to, she wouldn't be sold, that she could stay with them and be their little girl. And so he's walking along the pathway and the road toward where she lived. And suddenly, Kara was coming toward him, coming toward what the mission that he had just left. And she's carrying a small sack. As Kara met the missionary, she said these words, "I knew we were both praying. And I felt like God was going to answer. So I packed all I owed and put it in this sack and started coming to you." Now that is faith. And God brought it about, amen? That's faith in believing. We're also to pray with definite requests. When a child needs something, he's not real general about it. He's very specific when he goes to his mom and dad. God asked us to be the same way, to come with Him to Him with very specific details of what we're praying about, what the needs are, and approaching God and asking Him in the name of Jesus in very definitive, definite terms. "Father, here's the need. Let me pour my heart out to you about it." No matter what part of our life it may be. Finally today, the third point is our opportunities to pray. If you don't hear anything else today, if you don't remember anything else I say today, I beg you to remember and to pray and to contemplate this one point. We should have a definite time and place and habit of prayer daily. We must have it. Every day, every Christian should have some time set aside for prayer. It's good to have the same time of each day, making your prayer time a part of your daily routine, our habit. Most of us have those habits ingrained in us. We have a habit of taking a shower or bathing or shaving or brushing our teeth or doing certain chores, whether we're going to work or we're retired or we're home. We still have certain routines and habits that are part of our day. Most of us do. The time of prayer should be so integral and so much a part of that daily routine and habit. And I will tell you, I think it's important. I know you can pray walking down the street or driving or doing other things or ironing or whatever you may be doing. But I just think it's so important that you have a place away from all distractions. Away from the world, away from everything going around you, and you get alone and you just get face to face with God. And you begin to pray and you pour your heart out to Him. Speaking of opportunities, the Bible tells us we're to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean I just walk around the whole day and I'm praying constantly with my, you know, that doesn't mean that. It means that we live in an atmosphere, spiritually, an atmosphere of prayer. That just under the surface, there's this constant ideal that whatever the situation or whatever the thing we're dealing with, that prayer is right there. We're to live so close to Jesus by praying that we just feel like we can reach out and touch Him at any time. That's what this praying without ceasing is all about. at any one time of the day or night that arises in your heart and mind. Think about it. If you're staying close to Him and you're praying, at any one time there could arise in your heart and or mind something that is comes to you, and you know it's the Holy Spirit. You know the Holy Spirit is urging you to pray. You feel a burden or a need or a nudge in your heart, and you know it's the Holy Spirit. It shouldn't be stifled. It shouldn't be stopped. You should pause that moment and just trust that that's coming from God by His Holy Spirit, and to pray immediately for whatever that issue may be that the Holy Spirit puts into your heart. Right then, turn to God in prayer. The trouble, we're talking about prayer today, the trouble on this subject is that many Christians wait until they're in distress, until they're in crisis, where they've tried everything and now there's nowhere to turn. And then they go to prayer. A chaplain during World War II tells a story that on the field of battle, he would often hear men cry out, "Oh God!" And those same men back in the barracks would never use the name of God or the word God unless they were using it in profanity. But in crisis, oh, they were reaching out to God. Let us not live our lives that way. Amen. Some years ago, a young man growing up in a Christian home, he just became to greatly resent the constant discussion of Jesus in faith by his mother. He resented it so much he decided to leave home. Before he left home, his mother put her hands on his shoulders and said, "Son, I'll always be here praying for you." Well, that's a good thing for a mother to say. "Son, I'll always be here praying for you. And if there ever comes a time in your life when the burden of life is too heavy and you don't know where to turn, just call upon your mother's Savior, Jesus, and He will answer you." Well, that young man left home, went to the big city. He was free now to do whatever he pleased. He didn't have a mother there constantly talking about Jesus. This young man soon fell into sin. And as the days passed, sin lost its pleasure for him and its excitement for him. One day he found himself in a small, cheap hotel, motel room, all alone, in deep depression, and thinking about taking his own life. But as he sat there on the little nightstand beside the bed in that motel room was a Bible, probably put there by the Gideons. Praise God for the Gideons distributing Bibles. He picked the Bible up and he read a few verses. And as he read those verses of the New Testament, talking about Jesus, he'd tell you that it seemed like he could hear his mother's voice saying, "Son, when you don't know where to turn, call on your mother's Jesus. He will answer you." In just a few seconds, this young man was on his knees, crying his eyes out, confessing his sins to God, asking Jesus to forgive him and to come into his heart. The Lord wondrously saved that young man. And he knew he had to go home to surprise his mother and share the good news with her. So he's headed home, and he reached home. His mother saw him coming up the walk. And she didn't wait. She ran out the door to meet him. And she threw her arms around her son's neck. And she said, "I know why you're here, son. I know that you've called on Jesus. And He saved you and forgiven you. And He's your Savior now." And that young son acknowledged exactly what his mother said. "Yes, Mom, I have. It's true. God has saved me." And they rejoiced together as a mother and son could only do in Jesus. That's not the end of the story. That young man was Reverend R.A. Torrey. He became Dr. R.A. Torrey, who was president of the Moody Bible Institute. Dr. R.A. Torrey, in the late 1800s and the early 1900s, was one of the most prolific, powerful evangelists and preachers of the Word of God in America. He preached in nearly every part of the English-speaking world. Accomplished many great things as a minister of the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ, because a mother dared to continue to pray for her son. Because a mother dared to direct a son, when you can't find an answer, when you don't know where to turn, just turn to my Savior Jesus and pray. And He'll be there and He'll answer that prayer. The second verse of that song we started out with at the beginning of this sermon, just a little talk with Jesus, the second verse goes like this. You may have doubts and fears, and may have eyes filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to Him in prayer. He knows my every care. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Amen. It makes it right today. Just a little talk with Jesus. Oh, when we go to Him in prayer, we pour our heart out to Him. Do you ever have that moment in your life where you're just pouring your heart out and you're just being honest and say, oh, God, help me. I don't understand this or I don't understand that, and I don't know why this is happening, and I have this burden in my life, and you're just pouring it out to Jesus as honestly as you can, and you're saying, oh, God, in Jesus' name, hear me, help me. And He's there and He hears. And the Bible says that He answers prayer. He still answers prayer. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to tell you, there is great power in prayer. May God help us to understand our obligation, our observance, and our opportunities that He gives us in this powerful thing called prayer. I'll tell you this, when we call upon God in Jesus' name, He will always surely answer according to His will. Amen. Yeah. He will do it. Oh, I have faith that He'll do it. He always has. And I tell you this, He always will. Do you believe that today?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the power of prayer. Oh, God, show us. Help us to understand that what resources of heaven come into our lives and the lives of those that we pray for when we kneel our bodies and reach out in faith and we cry out to You and we pray in faith in the name of Jesus, and You hear and You answer and You meet needs and You bring salvation and deliverance and healing and hope and comfort to those that we're praying for. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, for answering prayer. Fill our minds and spirits today with the hope that prayer brings, with the confidence that prayer brings, with the power that prayer brings. And we praise You and we thank You now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Would you please stand with me today?